Blog Talk Radio.
Wait a minute, Doc. Are you telling me that you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
The way I see it, if you're going to build a time machine into a car, why not do it with some style?
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
No, it's Max, Darryl, and D-Bert, your host for the Comic Shop Show.
There he is. Couldn't quite get yourself away from the Redskins game, sir. Folks, welcome to the Grindhouse Edition, the double feature edition of Afternoon Radio. And this is the Comic Shop, 6 p.m., folks. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Listen, we have a lot to get into. Bear with us. For the uber geeks, I'm sure you will want to listen to our wisdom, to our unpacking of pulp culture. But I know it's hard to take yourself away from the Redskins game, so I'm aware of that. Anyway, bear with us. Let's go to a quick groove, and then you'll get a chance to speak with the gang. The gang is all here. This is Monumental. Monumental by The Last Emperor. Let's groove, folks. We'll be right back.
Being righteous is my career, and conflict is just a job risk. No stopping it, and I build rhymes like an Egyptian obelisk. Watch me get down to your province, town, or populace. And my life rhyme is prime, possess the matrix like Optimus. Now you'll get framed like a diploma in your spiritual coma. I'm a black more like Othello, but I will die possess the Mona owner. Diamond studded mic walk on a stage of solid marble. Leave the flyers simply startled and yell Shazam like Captain Marvel. Are you aware of the fact that I left mankind devastated, and they still look for the blueprints of the monuments that I've created? See the guards lie. Don't compare my hard drive to your floppy disk. Chicago to Gotham City, New York to Metropolis. From city streets to Athens, Greece, from the pyramids to the Acropolis. My final resting place will be a solid gold sarcophagus. But what I can understand is how these foolish humans use the mic to their advantage and get lost like the city of Atlantis. You're a long way from Kansas, and this is more than just black bone. You gotta be fresh, yes, and never talk in a whack tone. Cause once I got you in my attack zone, you can click your heels 3 times like Dorothy and couldn't get back home. So drop the mic and save those whack rhymes for later. Cause my battles be more broken arrows than Christian Slater. May the force be with you. It's true, nothing in life is coincidental. The Emperor is monumental.
Monumental.
For mortal men who pretend they never knew.
Monumental.
For these MCs thinking that they can do.
Monumental.
For the simple things in life that suit me. The dead ancestors that speak through me.
Monumental.
For mortal men who pretend they never knew.
Monumental.
For these MCs thinking that they can do me.
Monumental.
For the simple things in life that suit me. The dead ancestors that speak through me.
Monument.
Break a one-niner. It's the democratic socialist primal. On stage, I keep out invaders like the Great Wall of China. My style transcends whether the...
All right, folks, just a taste, just a skosh, again, the Emperor performing Monumental, giving you the best of nerdcore muzak. Folks, welcome to the Grindhouse edition of Afternoon Radio. Of course, 6 p.m., the Comic Shop. 7 p.m., we have Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. But of course, this time is our time. We could not do this show. I could not do it effectively without my crew in charge, the crew of this audio enterprise. First up, the captain. You're needed on the bridge, sir. Let's get to it.
Let's do it. Let's do it, do it, do it, do it, do it.
And then there's, of course,
yeah, rest assured, this is me, not a clone, not a Madrox thing. This is me. I'm the prime Darryl in the house.
You sure Dr. Octopus hasn't embodied your mind?
Oh, we are going to get to this. And to all the folks out there, I didn't forget about the Hobbit or the Django reviews. It will be in the next block. But the Doc Ock, Spider-Man, Peter Parker thing, that was too juicy not to start ripping on.
Listen, also, Django, the D is silent, sir.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, that's because I'm riffing off of what he says in the movie. So, you know, that's how he says it. Anyway, folks, again, Daryl is in full effect. You were missed, sir, because folks were asking, where's Daryl? What's going on? People are flipping out. So you are here live. It's not Memorex.
Well, congratulations to my aunt Yvette and Uncle Tony on their marriage. Trinidad was cool, but you know what? I'm a New York City boy. It's time to rumble.
Okay, listen, congrats, sir, congrats. It's always good to hear people getting married nowadays. All right. First up, Daryl, well, you know what? Let's talk briefly. I mean, we've been all over Django on the other show. Just can't stop talking about it. I think the audience is dying to hear your opinion of Django. I know you see everything. I'd be shocked if you did not see this. Did you see Django?
Yes, I did. And
okay.
You know what? You guys are going to have to help me out because I forget the name of it. There was a black cowboy film, I want to say late 90s, that had Mario Van Peebles and a bunch of... There you go. This felt to me like Posse, just with a little bit more blood. You know, that's what this felt like in the middle, because there was... Let's put it this way. There is no way you're going to do this film without the racial overtones just because of the subject matter, but I don't think they could have done this movie any better. And it could easily fit into a slot like the Tombstones,
Unforgiven.
Unforgiven. And, you know, it could easily fill into that slot. Sure, it got ham-fisted at times. But, hey, you could go there and you could watch it and you'd be entertained, simply put.
Yeah, you know, there's another Western that doesn't get enough attention that actually predates Posse. That's a damn good picture that has icons in the picture, and that's Buck and the Preacher. Forget about it. Sidney Poitier and Harry Belafonte, and it was gritty. It's available on DVD. It's been cleaned up. I would implore our audience, before there was Posse and, of course, now Django, well, actually, after the first Django, if you'll be more technical about it, there was Buck and the Preacher. Buck and the Preacher. I'm pretty sure you dug, because I know how you are, Daryl, I'm pretty sure you dug that they had Franco Nero.
He made
an appearance. The original Django made an appearance in this one. So I thought that was pretty cool. And the way they did it, where he said, the whole D is silent thing. He said, yeah, of course I know. That's the inside joke because he was the first Django.
Yeah,
so I love the picture. I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead, Daryl.
Again, you guys have heard me criticize Tarantino before, but the one thing in all of these movies that Tarantino does that no other director is good at doing is he knows what he loved when he was growing up. He knows what his influences are, and in these films that he does, he makes sure to give the shout-out out, not only so that, I'm paying respect to it, but so that the younger cats that go to see the film and they see people talking about these cameos and stuff, they go back and they try to go and take a look at these older films, you know, go like, oh, this is where he got this from? This older film was cool. Why haven't I watched this? You know, stuff like that. And you know what, Tarantino, I give him all the credit in the world for that because those kinds of shout-outs aren't coming every day.
Well, you know something that I think you just tapped into something, Daryl, that's underappreciated, especially for the folks that really are on the nerdy, geeky thing on that tip. Tarantino is an excellent reminder of classic films. He inputs these classic films, these classic tangents, and he has you, if you're really into this kind of stuff, He has you do the research, and you're better for it. Like you just said, this is really a mixed match, an amalgam of so many different movies. And the fact that, you know, Bruce Dern made an appearance in it. Bruce Dern is, you know, of course, you know his daughter Laura Dern, who also was married until recently, married to, I can't remember the gentleman's name, Ben Harper, who would definitely get airplay at Afro-Nerd because he's definitely doing urban alternative music. But Bruce Dern is a veteran of the Western. He's a very well-renowned actor. So he's always putting in these folks that you forgot years ago, and he reminds you how good they were, and it brings you back in the fold. I mean, when Pulp Fiction came out, I'm losing my memory, by ginseng, Travolta, John Travolta, was on his way out. On his way out, and he brought him back into fold. But as far as going through his movies, he makes you do the research to find out certain things that he puts in there. I remember looking at, what was the thing he did? Well, The Grindhouse double thing he did with Robert Rodriguez. One of the actors had made an off the mark comment on this white. If you remember the film, it was a white Challenger that they were trying to buy. And he mentions the movie Vanishing Point. I said, what is this big deal about this Vanishing Point film? So I went out and bought Vanishing Point. Excellent film. It's a classic. But, you know, you'd have to be a cineast or a cinephile. You'd have to do the research. He makes you do the research. You know, he makes you want to know, well, where did all this stuff come from that he's putting into these films? So he has to be applauded for that. So we talked more about, on the other show, you know, the political overtones, the racial climate, the heroism, all that kind of thing. But really, you almost have to be a film student to really truly appreciate a Tarantino film. Now, one thing I want to pose to you, because the captain and I have spoken about this to death, but I know that our listenership wants to hear what Daryl thinks on this stuff. Let's go beyond all the political stuff. Well, it's kind of slightly political. Do you think that Jamie Foxx's portrayal, because I've seen how black folks and everyone are reacting to this film, it's brought back the black hero. It's brought back the black action hero. The black badass, black badassery is back in fold. Now, do you think, two questions, do you think that this is going to maybe be a launching pad for some of the superhero stuff, some of the hero stuff that we saw in the 70s? Do you think that might come back because of this film? And also, do you think it makes people kind of have to, you know, step up to the plate now? We can't continue with the Tyler Perry and all the, you know, all the garbage. I'm looking at this. I know I've been saying it to death. Black Panther film now. There's stuff that's got to go down now. I want Tarantino to do it, by the way.
All right, but I'll just say it like this. The black hero never left. The black hero has always been there. It's just they needed a chance. They really needed a chance. Think about it. Asians, all right, Asians, they have their heroes because the Hong Kong, Korea market is strong. We import their films in. White people, Europeans, they have their filmmaking factories already, so they have their heroes. The problem is African Americans, black people outside of Africa, because we know about the Nigerian film industry and that coming up over there, but black America has never really had, you know, quote-unquote, their film industry, like, to be big time. Like, no one's importing our films. You know, no one's doing that. The thing this film does is it convinces white America that you could have a 90% black action film. And as long as it's quality, the thing Captain has constantly said, as long as it's quality, it should be able to sell in a lot of markets here in America. The problem is, every time you have a film like this, you got to go back to the stupid, ignorant statements that film houses and corporate suits have made before about the reality of making an all-black superhero film.
action film. Or, you know, it's just in this climate, anything is possible as long as you have the imagination for it. The problem is these suits don't have imagination, and they need a movie like Django to hit them over the head like a blunt iron pipe to say, you see, it can work. Now shut up and put some money behind some of these projects. Enough said.
Captain, you're up.
Well, just to piggyback on what Daryl has said, most of what you said was correct, but actually with the black exploitation films that we had here, that at one point, that's what saved Hollywood. So we did have light, shining on it. That's exactly, that was pushing Hollywood for a while, you know, with Three the Hard Way, The Nigga Named Charlie, and, you know, so forth and so forth and so forth. So we actually did have that base. But it went underground. At one point, it was in the limelight. It definitely was in the limelight. But it went underground, should I say, maybe about a good, what are we looking at? Maybe a good 35 years? It went underground. About that much. So, you know, the point is, I definitely agree with, the light is not on it. The light is not definitely on it. But at one point, you know, Hollywood did shine the light on it because that's all they really had, because the budgets weren't big for them, and they were moving. They were moving units, and it brought back Hollywood. So now with the advent of Quentin Tarantino, what we can do now and what everyone sees, and, you know, it takes a white guy at times. You know, that's the reality of it, you know, and a good white guy. Well, I mean, good white guy, good white director at the time that has clout. He had the clout, and essentially that's what it is. So with the advent of a Quentin Tarantino, people now see, the powers that be, that this can make money. So maybe we'll see more of these movies.
Well, Darryl, one quick thing. Go ahead, Captain. Sorry about that, Captain. Go ahead.
Okay, and not only that. No, but go ahead. Finish.
What I was going to say... And we see the callers there. Callers will be with you in one moment. Just hold on for just one second. I want to make this quick point. Daryl, he's right about that. We have to admit, he's very, very much, because we studied this stuff. You can look it up. Late 60s, early 70s, Hollywood was in trouble. The blaxploitation, or really the exploitation genre in general, but blaxploitation genre in the specific, helped save Hollywood because it was made on the cheap and it was extremely popular. When you think about Fred Williamson, Jim Brown, Jim Kelly, you can throw in the heroine, Pam Grier. These were, they were about badassery. And actually, this is what really makes you angry, is that Tarantino is as good as he is because he was a youngster looking at those films, and as a white person, he was influenced by black heroism. So this has got to stop. And I'm telling you, you know how desperate I want a Black Panther film. I think the audience knows, will this Afro-Negro stop talking about Black Panther? But I'm sorry. I'm going to keep on talking about it because I know what – I know. There's no way to go now. There's nowhere to go. If you can make – this movie is tracking, darling. You know, it's tracking to be a $300 million plus. They're saying this is going to be more successful, even in today's money, than Pulp Fiction and Inglourious Basterds.
Wow.
Okay.
Great.
That's not only is it big, but this movie is extremely politically incorrect. It is a politically incorrect movie with a predominantly black cast, and it's making money. So now when Marvel came out, when the Marvel executive came out a few months ago, I think Esposito came out and made this argument or this offhand thing, well, you know, because people are asking, what about Black Panther? Oh, well, you know, we don't know because, you know, it's a logistics and it's in Africa and blah, 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 blah. You made a make-believe, you made an Asgard out of thin air. Africa actually exists. Okay? Matter of fact, in the next segment, we're going to talk about how Africa is now becoming the new Asia. Africa, folks, is on the come up. All right? You know, matter of fact, I was hesitant to go there, Captain. I'm going to mention it. Bono said... should I say this or should I let that go?
Do what your heart tells you.
Okay. Well, Bono, the artist from U2, had said, this is the year, and I quote, the year of the Afro nerd. I'm going to leave it at that. Bono. So if you have a Tarantino interpreting what Hudlin did in the cartoon, Daryl, and this is because I'd love to see it, have some of the people that were actually in Django, just as a goof, have some of the actors in Django fight T'Chaka or T'Chaka's grandfather, like what we saw in the cartoon, folks, that Reginald Hudlin did, who was a producer on Django. Have that set up. Have your black Batman in Africa badassery, $400 million movie. I said it. There's no excuses now. There's no excuses. If you can make a politically incorrect movie like Django, then you can certainly make a black superhero. And actually, it would be slick on Marvel to do it because it would make Marvel have their own Batman, but he's black. Boy. Boy.
He's putting all these shots across the bow tonight, folks.
Yeah. He let me go.
Tell me. There's no Listen, this is the year of the Afro nerd. Bono said it. He know me. He knows us. We're coming. I'm just saying it. Let's go to the call real quick. Let's give this person his due. Might be a little hot in here. Okay, 626, welcome to the comic shop. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Covina Man. Hey, what's happening? This is Covina Man from Los Angeles. Yeah, I think I'm digging with the conversation going on here. And I think that the difference between, say, the black exploitation movies and you know, what was going on now with Django and stuff, is what has came back is not the black hero, because the black hero has been around. We had, Van Diesel, he had Wesley Snipes, Will Smith, and even the guy that plays Spawn, I can't remember his name right now. But you had the black superhero. What you didn't have was the white villain. In those movies where you had a black, hero, the villain is either, vampires or zombies or something else. But what happened in Django that resonates with old exploitation movies is the man is the villain. And the Black Panther, the thing is, I love the Black Panther. I don't have the Black Panther number one, but I got two through pretty much till it finished. But the problem with the Black Panther is when they first initiated him, it was a black superhero, but he had no weapons. He had no superpowers. It was like O.J. Simpson in a suit. He was just an athlete. It was like later, as they started to add different paraphernalia, and you had the crystals from Wakanda, then he started to have some other paraphernalia. But they would have to reinvent a guy like Spawn was an actual hero, although he was male, but he was, that had some powers. If you're gonna have a black superhero, give him some powers. He'd at least be able to fly and be bulletproof or something like that,
Let me tell you something. And hold on real quick, Dad. I got this.
Go ahead.
This is what's up. You're semi-right. I don't know if you've read the entire catalog for Black Panther. You've got to read two writers that took on the Black Panther, but one preeminent writer who should actually be involved. If there's going to be a Black Panther movie, they need to have this man involved. Christopher Priest. You have to read the Christopher Priest run of the Black Panther, because actually his run really put him on a larger scale than ever. And they've never been able to they've been stuck with what he has done, because what he has done was so powerful. He gave him paraphernalia. He made him more of an African Batman with paraphernalia and thinking, a thought process, and a country and scientists that do everything at his whim. You have to read Christopher Priest and, of course, Reginald Hudlin's run.
The cartoon.
The cartoon is on YouTube. You see the cartoon with Jaimin Hinsu, who, appropriately so, as the Black Panther. So if you read Priest, it dispels any notion he is on par with Batman, maybe even more so. Batman does not have a crew of scientists at his disposal. So if they show that version of the Black Panther, forget about it.
I think Daryl,
I'm curious. Do you think that we might have to have a Tarantino on the case on this? I hate to say it, but in order for him to put white butts in the seat to see a black Batman, you might have to have Tarantino do it, because actually the Wakandans are pretty violent.
It's right up his alley.
Well, I'll just say it like this. We're neglecting Red Tails because it wasn't that big a hit in the box office. But that was an example of black heroes without powers right there, okay? I want to know why we can accept Bruce Wayne without powers, you know? But here's T'Challa. He doesn't have powers per se. Just like he's Captain America without a drug. Captain America more spiritualized, okay? But he is the perfect combination of Batman, Captain America, and Iron Man. That's what T'Challa is. This is a dude that's taken out the Silver Surfer. This is a dude that has contingency plans upon contingency plans, okay? And he runs a nation. All that there. All right? He is the ultimate black superhero. If you get the right writer on it, hey, Christopher Priest, you know, I could use a Mephisto on the couch scene in the movie. I'm just saying, you know.
And then you know something else? You know something else is even crazy. Is something else even crazier, Darryl, is that many years later, they wrote this as some kind of back end mythology or back end continuity thing. But the Black Panther, with his dealings with the Avengers, for many years they thought he was just a regular teammate. But they found out, hey, this guy really is, he really does run a country, but he also was a spy. He was not,
exactly.
He was really not their friend. He was really not their friend. He's a good guy. And one other thing, real quick, with the caller, because we're going to go to a musical break for a moment. I'm going to put you on hold, sir, just so you can still come stay in. I'm going to put you on hold for a second. But one quick thing we have to acknowledge is that all that stuff from the 70s was great. And actually, I'm going to have to revisit that 70s stuff. The captain and I have been talking about this stuff.
Absolutely.
We have to revisit this stuff now and look at it differently. I just saw Shaft Goes to Africa and enjoyed it differently than I would if I didn't see Django. But what Django does, I think, is it puts a cerebral black badassery. The stuff from the 70s is a little bit more cartoonish. It's a little over the top, a little cartoonish. But this right here, you saw a lot of cerebral black, even though he was a slave, but you saw his arc. You saw him change it up a little bit. There was a little bit more thinking involved, which is what I'm saying. You got to modernize. It's cool to be in slavery, but this is the 21st century now. Let's bring the hero to the 21st century. Now, Will Smith has to get his credit too, but we haven't really seen black badassery. That's a whole different dimension. Badassery
combined with intelligence. Combined with intelligence. You got to throw that in there. Because Django used his head a lot more and then bludgeoned people to death, you know? Simply put,
that's scary. That's scary. Listen, let's go to a quick musical break. We can stay on this all into the next show. I do want to talk about another controversial thing, Mr. Slot. Darryl. Mr. Slot. You know,
I warned people about this, but we're going to hit it.
You know, we're going to have to, I'm a little upset. Amazing, for the uninitiated, amazing Spider-Man number 700. It's a problem. I know Darryl's chomping at the bit. I want him to talk about this, but I don't understand. I cram to understand what is going on. All right. Let's go to Deltron 3030, Mastermind. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove.
Ask you a question, man, if you know what's up. Fit this. Who fuses the music with no illusions? Producing the blueprint. Clueless? Automator. Defy the laws of nature. Electronic monolith. Throw a jam upon the disc. The futuristic loop it with the quickness. Hyper-producing. Hydrogen fusion liquid. Keep your distance. Keep your distance. consuming, reprogramming. I apply the flow cannon, the combo so slamming, atomically reconstruct the whole canvas. His logic impressed, a hypnotic effect. Yeah, Latin patent, you could call it a gift. Manny all in the mix, nuclear physicist, genetically tailored every bit of this stimulus.
The day the walls of the city will crumble away, uncovering our naked souls. All start singing, shouting, screaming.
The mastermind.
Psionically, bionically, forget how you feel, especially formulated. The rest of you fornicated, it takes more to make this. He juggles variables, unparalleled propulsion to carry the love. Neurosurgeon, the purest virgin, conducting current, musical Merlin. He shine like Sterling. Watch automator draw a laser of a higher intensity and instantly mentally create a symphony.
Who's that? The mastermind.
Who's that?
Time for me to dead daddy.
Who's that?
The mastermind.
Who's that? Hey, I know now, I know now.
Repeat.
Automator's on the planet Earth and he's gonna stop the war of the world.
Now how would he do that?
Peace. Deltron Zero is here as well to click together for real.
That's pretty good, man.
Yeah. He told y'all evildoers he is truly gifted in the matters of rhythm.
Yeah, I'll give him that.
Yeah, you gotta give him zap. With his infinite wisdom, you know you gotta get with him.
How's that? How's that? How'd I do?
Good
cool.
Job.
Really?
All is
really?
Well with the cosmos.
Yes, yes, I got the support. Oh.
30 Back once again, that was Deltron 3030, giving the best of nerdcore Muzak. We're talking, well, first we kind of cleaned up the whole deal with Django. We wanted to hear Daryl B's opinion. We have a caller from L.A. actually also weighing in. And, of course, the great Captain Kirk. I want to move along to Mr. Dan Slott, who is a notable comic book writer. And now, toward the end, along esteemed run of Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man, the last issue, number 700, dealt with a mind swap, a mind meld between one of Peter Parker's core villains, Doc Ock. They exchanged brains or minds, and now we have it where theoretically Peter Parker has died because he was in the body of a dying Doc Ock, and this is Doc Ock with Peter Parker, Spider-Man's body and his memories. I don't know what this is. There's a million things to do, Daryl. A million possibilities that they just don't want to do, and they do this stupid, sloppy. I can't curse, but you know.
Hey, I'll help you out here. I got to give props to Marvel because the last 17 months, they have built up Doc Ock, okay? He fought Iron Man. He was a thorn in the side for the Future Foundation and Spider-Man and Avengers Academy. He had a prior thing with Ends of the Earth, which was the two storylines ago versus Spidey, where we first found out he's dying. Okay, and he wanted to go out with a bang by taking out everybody else. Now, since that got foiled, we come to 700 in this. And I go like this, you know what? Dan Slott did a great job building this up. But my problem is, Doc Ock's history with Spider-Man is long and lengthy. We don't even at one time, Doc Ock nearly married Aunt May. Dan Slott views as Doc Ock as what Peter Parker could have been if he let all the rage
and all the anger at constantly being picked on and stuff eroded his sense of self. All right? Because they both had the lab accidents where they acquired their powers. They both are very intelligent. They both strive to be noticed in different ways. You know, Spidey strives to be noticed by just with his quips and stuff as he fights criminals to take people's attention away from the crimes they commit so they make a mistake. Doc Ock wants to be noticed because he wants to finally say, yes, I am that great. I am Doc Ock. The problem with this is Doc Ock is a great villain. To me, I know the youngsters, they think Green Goblin's the villain, Green Goblin's the villain, Green Goblin. It used to be Doc Ock. When I grew up, it was Doc Ock that was Spider-Man's number one villain. The thought that he's in Peter Parker's body and go like, well, after all this time, all I need to know was all of Peter Parker's morals and just seeing his life pass behind my eyes. And you know what? I'm going to turn good, and I'm going to be a better Spider-Man than Peter Parker ever was. What? Wait. So you're telling me all it took was like a memento-type lecture by Peter Parker to Doc Ock to get him to all of a sudden turn good? Nah. Dan, you dropped the ball there. But you know what? I do appreciate the risk he's taking, all right? You know, because often we talk about stagnated ideas and everything, and up until the end of that, I thought Peter would find some way to cure Doc Ock. But in the process, you know, he gets paralyzed, or using his powers would kill him, and he would have one of the other scientists at the labs he's working with don the suit. Never in my wildest dreams would I think that Peter Parker's body would still be Spider-Man, but it's Doc Ock. Only in comic books, folks. Cap?
Well, this is what I want to say pertaining to this. Now, when you see these things, and they happen from time to time in the comic book world, you have to say to yourself, how much do they care about the fan? How much do they care about the people that are buying these books? But they have to care, because without you buying the books, they can never make any money. So they realize you are valuable. But look what happened here with just a sweep of a hand. Doc Ock and Spider-Man have a very elaborate and very strong history. That history has changed. It has been wiped out. But we also know in comic book lore, nothing's really wiped out. You could always redo it. So they constantly play these games and they make you go left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. This time they went left foot, and now you have CNN talking about a comic book. So obviously, this is something that's going to generate, it should, because all the promotion that's behind it, going to generate some money, or should we say even a lot of money. And I always say this, and I know Darryl gets mad with me with this. Gone are the days where the geek or the nerd had the comic book underneath his arm or in his bag, and he says, nah, 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 nah. You don't have this. I know about this. You don't know anything about this. This is my world. It's a pop event. And in a pop event, you, as a diehard comic book aficionado, you get screwed. You get screwed. That's the reality of it. They get lazy. They do all these different things, and it makes them a lot of money. Then they come back and try to set it right a little bit later. That's all I want to say. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, I have to agree with the captain on this one. I think, you know, this has been going on for a little bit now, but it's kind of reaching an apex. And even behind the scenes, you had noted that CNN had carried this story. I mean, you know, now, and this is another thing, too, we have to admit. You know, for a few years now, Darryl, it's kind of weird that, you know, storylines out of comic books are major news stories now. You know, you never really saw that before. Not really. Now someone dies or some major, someone comes out as gay or someone is black. Someone comes out as black. You know,
someone comes out as a person of Latin descent, it's news. I mean, you know, people care about comic books. It's such a pop cultural thing. Before, this would just be between you and I in some dusty comic book store or some dusty comic book convention. Now, the comic book conventions aren't even dusty. They're high pop art, pop cultural events that the news covers. Matter of fact, SiriusXM has comic book convention radio shows where for that weekend, it's on lock. Just everything about comic books. You never saw that before. And someone from CNN, someone from ABC News, someone from CBS, they have to be there at that convention.
Yeah, 1975,
it was just a whole bunch of aging comic book artists and writers and super geeks. Now, it's an event. And that's why I think that's why this stuff is going on, too. We have to acknowledge it.
And I will say it like this. With the increased intention comes out the nut jobs. All right? let me do this as a public service announcement. It's okay to like a comic book. It's okay to hate a comic book. But when you go and get behind your computer keyboards and threaten a man's life over a story, it's a story. Just as you two just said, stories can't be overwritten. I already have like three ways in my head where they could change this within a year and bring Peter Parker back. And most comic fans out there probably have their own theories on doing it. But a fictional character can't always be overwritten. A person's life can't. And if you want proof of that, look at Aurora this weekend. All right? Look at Sandy Hook. Don't even attempt saying, just say, yo, Dan Slott, I hate you. I don't like this direction. Don't say, Dan Slott, I'm going to kill you. How could you do this to Peter Parker? I'm going to kill you. And go like, could we calm down? Could the irrational, Montgomery Burns said way back in Simpson, I'm aware that a lot of you in the crowd are stroking guns right now. Just listen to what I have to say. You know, guys, calm down a second. You don't like the book, then pick it up. But don't make threats, especially in this day and age. You give all of us a bad name. Back to you, Afrinerd.
Yeah, I want the caller from L.A. to weigh in, but I want to make one point. You know, we can one-up that story, this whole thing about the nuts, from our inner sanctum. From our inner sanctum, friend of the show and filmmaker Hilton Ruiz was a housemate, Daryl. Was a housemate of a gentleman, and I say gentleman loosely, who shot his girlfriend over The Walking Dead that made the news a few weeks ago. That's how real this is. We are up close on this madness. Our friend was a housemate of a man, and the irony of that story is our friend, the filmmaker, has a short that you can see on AfroNerd and see on and Google it. It's called Zombie with a Shotgun. So our friend, the filmmaker, has a film called Zombie with a Shotgun, who was a housemate of a nut who had a shotgun that shot his girlfriend, wounded her, over a show about zombies. It doesn't get any nuttier or realer than that. Than that, we have another call. Oh, well, first, let's go. Caller, hold on. Let's go to the gentleman from L.A. Your thoughts on this madness.
Oh, he's still there?
Yeah. Hello?
I'm sorry, I had myself on mute. I'm sorry about that. I think that I was going to add this. When Marvel sold to Disney, I think all bets was off as of, you know, what was going to be the quality of the results. You might have Mickey Mouse fighting the Hulk or something like that, man. It's going to get topsy-turvy.
All right. You know what?
Let me take back all that. Forget about that last thing. Because if that happened, then I'm getting a shotgun.
Yep.
Everybody has their breaking point. If that happens, then I'm getting a shotgun then. And going to Disney Studios then. So pray they don't do that. Every man has a breaking point. Every man has a breaking point. They know not to do that. It won't be just me. It will not be just me. I'll coach Daryl B on this one. We're gonna ride high tonight.
No Uncle Scrooge smash. No.
Damn. No, okay. You know the deal.
I'm riding on that one.
It's gonna be a problem.
Oh,
I take
God.
That last statement. I take it back. Let's go to the caller real quick, 916. Caller, welcome to the comic shop. Tell us who you are, where you're coming from, your thought process. What's up?
Well, gentlemen, once again, it is Big Sexy in SAC. Wanted to say hi.
Hey, my Big Sexy. Yes, what's up, man? Any thoughts?
What's going on, guys? I want to follow up on what Captain said about a lot of people who aren't fans of comics and comics related things coming into the program, because you have conventions now. You know, back in the day, it was just people, you know, who like the books, big deal. Now you got Access Hollywood there, like you said, CNN and ABC. And the reason I want to call in is I have a client who was an indie filmmaker, and he was shooting a film about San Diego Comic-Con a couple of years ago, and we were speaking to Robert Rodriguez. And we were told by Robert to go up to a room, whatever, and wait, and he'd give us an interview. We go up to that room, and we are bumped out of there because we weren't Access Hollywood. We weren't extra. And I made sure to pull the organizers aside and light them up about it, because when you get people in who don't organically care about this hobby, or any hobby for that matter, you get outsiders in, they bloat it, extort it, they strip mine it, and then they just walk away from it, which is my fear about all the movies that are coming out now. You know, where are they going to be in 5 years? Are we going to go back to, you know, the Roger Corman Fantastic Four? I just don't like when people who have no organic love for the hobby get in and, you know, take it for what it's worth money-wise and then just drop it. I hate that.
Well, I will say this. One of the things that enlightened me over the weekend is on one of my trips into the city, I'm on the train, I'm reading my book, and there's two kids, a Latino boy and a white boy, sitting next to me. And they see what I'm reading, and they go, "Is it true, Peter Parker? Is it true Peter Parker's dead? Is it true?" And I'm like, kind of, sort of. And the Latino kid says this, no lie, and I got a smile on my face. "Yeah, Peter Parker dies all the time. My man is Miles Morales.
Okay.
I get to do the pound."
The year of the Afro nerds. Well, you know, listen, I was there. I might have said this on air before. When that issue of Miles Morales first came out, there was a lot of haterade going around by those. They couldn't even deal with an alternate Spider-Man. It's an alternate Spider-Man. At least this Spider-Man we're talking about is the main 616 continuity Spider-Man. But I was in the comic shop, this comic shop that Daryl and I frequent, shouting out Donna from Superhero Comics in Floral Park, New York, giving her a plug. When that book came out and we were talking about it, a young Latina, female now, young Latina comes in and she says, "I got to get this new Spider-Man." And she said, "I got to get it because my last name is Morales." It broke my heart. I'm telling you, it affected me. I was like, wow, this is real. This is what you mean by people of color needing to have heroes. Heroes that they can intellectually connect with, that they can culturally connect with. And the irony is that he's part African-American, he's part Latin, so she could get into it, and I can get into it. Not that I get in anybody, but it's a little bit more important when it's a man of color. That's why I guess the Internet and the media have lit up to this deal with Django. They're Django dolls now. It was talked about as a joke. I looked it up. It's not a joke. The whole Django... Well, most of the Django cast, there's already a doll line for them, including Steven.
Oh, boy.
there's a House Negro doll. Go to the Afternoon Radio Facebook page, folks. Afternoon Radio Facebook. Most of the people in the movie has a doll. Broomhilda has a doll.
Doesn't look anything like Herman Cain.
House Negro. You know what? I'm not gonna go that deep into it because I'm a conservative, so I gotta be careful about what I say. You know, I gotta be careful. But there might be an Afro nerd dog. Someone just shot in my ear. I'm not gonna say, hey, Captain. Someone said, hey, you know, you might have to get an Afro nerd doll. I'm just saying. Hey, think about it.
As a Daryl B also.
Hey, wait. Do I get the Dr. Doom armor, or is that safe for Captain Kirk? I just want to know. Do I get the replaceable face mask? You know?
You're going to get the octopus limbs, sir.
There you go. And the bowl haircut. Make sure I get the bowl haircut, too.
Quickly, I want to do a quick transition. We got about 8 minutes remaining. Dan, I'm not wishing for the death of Dan Slott, but I will say I'm a bit disappointed. All that growth, because actually, we can talk about this is going to lead into what is the Superior Spider-Man. That's the new line now. What about
mm-hmm.
that? That's essentially a new comic book line to dovetail off of 700. So there's no more Amazing Spider-Man, and the Amazing Spider-Man that book, that brand. I'm having a difficult time believing that's gone. The Amazing Spider-Man, the whole thing is that's all it is. It's gone. So now we have the Superior Spider-Man. I don't know. It sounds like a bunch of crap.
I give it a year, and it's going to come back. Because listen, you can handle Otto Octavius in small bits, but him having to carry a book, yo. Just bring in Wolverine to cut him up, get Charles Xavier to, like separate their minds, put his mind into a blank clone or something, that, you know, do something. But I can't last with it.
Real quick, I didn't know this was being tracked so quickly. I think we spoke about it, but we didn't really get into it in depth. Amazon, CW's Amazon, now it actually has a name. We know the success of Arrow, which is an interpretation of Oliver Queen and Green Arrow. I mean, he is Oliver Queen. He is essentially the Green Arrow. But now we have Wonder Woman being reinterpreted for CW as Amazon. And I don't know if I like the read on this. First of all, she's not going to be Diana Prince. She's going to be Iris. So, I mean, I don't know. Dad, what did you hear about this deal? What is this?
It's a question. It's a statement of be careful what you wish for. Here we go. You're finally giving Wonder Woman a chance. Except we're getting her confused with the Captain Marvel female version from the 70s. And then we're not even going to say, she's the Princess Diana. No. We're going totally left. All right? I would buy this story if it's another Amazon. And you throw in little Easter eggs in it about that previous Amazons have visited America or wherever they're going to shoot it at, you know, and she's young and learning the ways of her powers and stuff like that, trying to understand man's world. But it sounds like they're trying to do Wonder Woman without doing Wonder Woman. And that sounds like corporate shill tactics. I'm sorry.
Well, you know something else, Daryl? It really is upsetting. If anyone were to do a cursory look on the internet and you find out how Joss Whedon was going to approach the character, because Joss Whedon, as we know, knows a little something on how to promote or promulgate a heroine, a female hero. He knows a little something. Shouting out to the Buffy fans. He knows a little something. When you read his take on it, because he was initially connected to this reboot, his take on it sounds a lot more plausible, a lot more respectful, something I can get into. This Iris thing, I don't know what the hell this is. I don't know if she's powered. It makes it seem like she's just some nutty girl from an island who has no Western couth. She doesn't know ice cream. She doesn't know anything about ice cream. That's the hook. This Wonder Woman doesn't know what ice cream is. She's a little rough around the edges. She's a little blunt. You know, I could get that a little. But it makes it seem like she's just a wild woman in today's culture.
Yeah, that's okay. I get that in Lost Girl. I don't need that from something Amazon where you're going to have it interact with the DC Universe. But as Big Sexy and Captain both pointed out, you know, that's the geek side of me talking. That's the one who knows the hero. I want to see the references and stuff like that. They're making this for the up-and-coming young audience. It's like a girl power type of ID thing. And you know what? I hope they get it to work. Because like you said, the Josh Whedon script was much better, or his idea, his promise was much better, and that'll be one of their most serious mess-ups of all time, letting Josh Whedon get over to Marvel.
And that's another thing. Josh Whedon handed Marvel Entertainment, and by extension Disney, $1.5 billion. He handed it over to them. Wouldn't you think that a guy that's able to do that, maybe you might want to keep him in the mix so you can get these things done right. Obviously, he knows what he's doing. But no, these suits, they go dumb all the time. And they go dumb hard. I'm just saying. But they got Arrow right, though. Arrow, I'm digging Arrow. But at the same time, they're a little closer to what Arrow is about. Arrow is a guy that honed his abilities, his skill, from being marooned on an island. You know, don't go left, you know, with the script when it's already been written. I'm just saying.
Did he just say don't go left? That's all Hollywood does. They go left. You expected them to go straight. They make the turn, you know. Make the turn. Now we're going to go straight. They'll do everything opposite of what we suggest here. Always.
Listen, let me mention one thing. I'm sorry, go ahead, Captain, go ahead.
It's somewhat like, based on what was written in the article, it's like Xena the Warrior Princess, modern day, somewhat, in a way. You know, it's just it's just in between ground. It's not really Wonder Woman, you know?
Well, they can touch on that, though. They can touch on that. I mean, that's because she is, you know, they could tap on that a little. They could touch on that, but you still have to stay somewhat close to the core essence of Diana Prince.
Yes.
And her being Greek and that whole thing. They got to really, listen, whatever.
I hope it does well.
I really do.
Now I'm hoping for Lucy Lawless as Queen Hippolyta in this. Make it happen.
Respectfully, they're going to have to go with Linda Carter for that. Respectfully, I think. Gentlemen, another feisty show. We got to go next door, folks. Stay tuned for Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. More fire. It's always burning. More fire. Gentlemen, it's been real. I'll call it in L.A. Continue listening to us if you like. We appreciate
Big
you stopping by. Big says that he left, but he's always listening in. Captain, any thoughts where we have to move on along to the next door operation?
Let's do it. Show was fiery as usual. Glad to have you back, Daryl.
Hey, get well soon, Peter David. Get well soon, man.
Oh, yes, definitely. All right, folks. Next door, Apple Nerd.
Spock with a beard?
I think not. Yes, sir. You're aware they're all white, or yes, sir? You've seen them.
Yes, sir, I've seen them. Yes, sir, I'm aware that they're all white. They're not from Portugal, they're from Spain. And at birth, they're not white. They're black. Sir,
I didn't know that. But they are from Portugal.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to enter this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funk and lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a lock.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, D-Bird, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Hey, folks, what's up? D-Bird here. Listen. For those who think they're not really nerdy or into comic books, you may want to take a listen to the Comic Shop. The Comic Shop's really getting fiery all of a sudden. I love doing the Comic Shop. I love doing both shows. Again, this is the Grindhouse edition of the Sunday broadcast, so we do get a bit more uber geeky on the 6 o'clock hour at the 6 o'clock hour. But it's a show to listen to, along with this one, After featuring Captain Kirk. Listen, we have a lot to talk about. A lot to unpack, a lot to wax on, a lot to deliberate on, all those synonyms. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Also, I have to mention that I met one of our stalwart listeners live on Friday, shouting out Afro Brit. I'll talk about it briefly. But I love meeting our fans. And I think they're starting to enjoy seeing the Afro Nerd in the flesh. So, without further ado, let's get to the funk. This is The Time, Blondie. Let's groove, folks. We'll be right back.
I'm
Afro Nerd Unchained. I said again, Afro Nerd Unchained. Welcome to the second half, folks. It's going to get hot. Trust me, it's going to get hot. The call-in number, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. That was the irascible, irreplaceable, indefatigable Morris E. Day of the time, folks, giving you the best of urban alternative, black rock, funk, you name it, we got it. Without further ado, again, Captain, it's your time. Time to beam up, sir.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Samuel L. Jackson from Django Unchained equates to Herman Cain? Do they really believe that?
I don't know. He makes a lot of money. you know what Dave Chappelle said? Can't give certain people money. I'm giving you the edited version of what he said.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Okay, folks, again, this is Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. For the second half, we have a lot to get into. Quickly, I want to give grace and good tidings to a young lady, lovely young lady from the UK across the pond, who's been a listener for a long time. Her name is Afro Brit, and she just so happened to be visiting our neck of the woods, Times Square, and she said, "Listen, if you want to, come and meet me. I want to see this Afro nerd. So I said, okay, listen, I don't mind meeting people. I like that there are people, especially internationally, people in the UK, we have Shouting Out Tokyo Mike, people from Japan, people from all over the place that are into this Afro nerd movement. I just mentioned in the last show, take heed, folks, I just mentioned in the last show that Bono of U2 said, in an Atlantic Weekly article about 2 months ago, this is the year of the Afro nerd. This is the year of the Afro nerd. So, I got to take heed to that. So anyway, she came through. We kicked it for a minute, spoke about the show. She's very, very much invested into the show. And she really put the fire in my belly to say, hey, you guys have an international fan base. You got to get busy. You got to start getting this thing really moving. And I really appreciate what she did. And it was a great meeting. And I really appreciate her. And I appreciate all the folks that are supporting us. And she's been supporting the show for a long time. So I had to acknowledge that. So again, nice meeting you, Ms. Afro Brit. And continue listening, definitely. Okay, folks, listen, more stuff to get into, more stuff. Kwanzaa, Captain, Kwanzaa. Gentlemen, I would say gentlemen in quotes. I would say that, but I'm not so sure. I don't know if I'm going to completely diss him. I don't know, Captain. You got to help me with this one. This is Wisconsin. Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know what to call him yet. I haven't figured it out yet. I'm not a knee-jerk kind of guy. I'm a little too pensive. Anyway, Wisconsin GOP Senator Glenn Grothman came out hard against you Negroes. Hard, saying African Americans really don't care about Kwanzaa. They don't really care about Kwanzaa. And you know what? He might be right. So, but he went a little too far, got a little too familiar, and then he veered off a cliff, as they always do, Captain. But his initial statement has a kernel of truth, a kernel. Although there's a sizable community of black folks that are, you know, Afrocentric, Afro-minded black folks that are into Kwanzaa and celebrate it, but the majority of black folks want gifts, Although gifts are exchanged during Kwanzaa, but not the way Christmas gets down. So, you know, there's a problem here, but when he went off the cliff, that became a problem. So I want to find this clip where there's actually two clips. We'll see if we get through some of them. One is from the Young Turks, and one is from CNN. And CNN did a gangsta move on him. They pinned him down on something, Captain. So let's go to the Young Turks, if I can find it. Let's see. Where are the Young Turks? Young Turks. All right. Young Turks on Kwanzaa and this Grossman controversy. Then we'll get into it ourselves. Hold on, folks.
Up to 2 million people celebrate Kwanzaa, but that doesn't matter because Wisconsin State Senator Glenn Grossman believes that Kwanzaa is just a made-up holiday that black people don't even like. In fact, let me read you his exact quote. He says, "Of course, almost no black people today care about Kwanzaa, just white left-wingers who try to shove this down black people's throats in an effort to divide America."
You know, in the beginning, I wasn't that opposed to him. Like, you read your first sentence, and Kwanzaa's lost a little bit of steam. Let's keep it real, okay? I remember when I, 1980s, 90s, et cetera, people were like, no, seriously, dude, Kwanzaa, right?
Is it Kwanzaa or is it Kwanzaa?
Whatever. Uh-huh. Okay, it's losing steam.
Okay. Not important anymore.
Lately, I don't see a lot of people talking about Kwanzaa, because I think at some point people were like, dude, like a professor made that up a couple of years ago, right?
Right, in the 60s. A professor made it up in the 60s, and the reason why he did that is because he wanted to think outside the box in terms of, you know, celebrating black heritage, for instance, instead of celebrating Christmas in the traditional way. He wanted to focus on African culture, which I think is awesome.
But it had a couple of issues. So it has, like, good ideas, unity, et cetera, these seven different principles.
Yeah.
But it feels like a chore. Like, I'm trying to remember African words. I don't quite remember them. There's a lot of principles I got to go through, et cetera. And the whole time I'm thinking, okay, when do we get to the presents? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, I ain't got no problem with Black Santa Claus as long as he's giving away presents. So it hasn't caught on fire yet. I'm just keeping it real, okay? Mm-hmm. I could be wrong about that. But then he immediately loses me, as he was bound to do. First of all, when he talks about white liberals are forcing it down black, it was a black professor who came up with it.
I know. And
white,
like,
liberals ain't got nothing to do with it.
Like, I'm a white liberal. I don't care about Kwanzaa. Like, I don't care about any of it, to be honest with you. Like, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because why does he give a shit so much? The reason why he gives a shit is because he sees other religions, and I know Kwanzaa isn't a religion, right? But other
traditions
and cultures as a threat. In fact, I think the next quote gives you his perspective perfectly. It says, "Irresponsible public school districts try to tell a new generation that blacks have a separate holiday than Christians. Be on the lookout if a K-12 or college teacher tries to tell your children or grandchildren it's a real holiday."
But be on the lookout. Oh, my God, here comes Kwanzaa. We might celebrate unity. Damn, I wouldn't want to do that. Like, these people are just, they're so paranoid. Sharia law is coming. The Muslims are about to take over Oklahoma. Oh, my God, Kwanzaa almost kicked Santa's ass. He mugged Santa all the way, and he stole a couple of reindeer. Just calm down, man. Okay, it's not like Kwanzaa's taking over Santa and nobody's going to do... Not that Santa's Christian to begin with, okay? Yeah. But it's not like Jesus Christ has got...
All right, I'm going to stop it there because there's another clip I want to play, folks. A game that was from the Young Turks. And as a side note, this is what gets me, Captain, is that here's a progressive. It's a progressive show. Of course, they're going to come out fighting. But at the same time, they're also clowning Kwanzaa, too. He was saying Kwanzaa. You know, he was kind of saying, it's kind of a load going on here, but this guy's still wrong. So it's hard. Even your supporters are somewhat being jocular about this holiday. So let's go to CNN with Mr. Grossman himself. Why can I speak? Mr. Grossman himself. When he's interviewed, and then he's, if we can bear it long enough, he's also somewhat shanghaied. Well, you know what? I'll let it play, and you figure it out for yourself, folks. This is Glenn Grossman on CNN about Kwanzaa. Hold on.
So we're going to move on to something else, and this is somewhat controversial. A Wisconsin state senator with a very blunt attack on the holiday Kwanzaa. He sent out a press release, and he titled the press release, quote, "Why must we still hear about Kwanzaa?" He is the Republican Glenn Grothman, the state senator there, slamming the holiday's creator in particular, Milana Karenge. And he said, quote, "Karenge was a racist and didn't like the idea that Christ died for all of our sins, so he felt blacks should have their own holiday, hence Kwanzaa," end quote. But then he went on to say, quote, "Of course, almost no black people today care about Kwanzaa, just white left-wingers who try to shove this down black people's throats in an effort to divide Americans." Seemed like a pretty clear message, and it really did offend a lot of people.
I think the underlying problem here is not enough TV types, when they talk about Kwanzaa, talk about the horrible, racist, violent past of its founder. And if they knew the past, I think Kwanzaa would die a quick death.
Well,
you've got to remember, Ron Karenga... Okay,
go ahead.
Ron Karenga, the founder of Kwanzaa, who just founded it in 1966, was a black separatist who felt the Black Panthers didn't dislike white people enough. The group that he founded wound up shooting a couple of Black Panthers. He himself, for committing physical violence against women, had to spend time in prison. Now, I think the idea that our country would celebrate a special holiday created by this guy before he committed these acts of violence, and now we're going to say, oh, we must talk about this to the kindergarten children and how wonderful this holiday is ridiculous.
Well, you've got to admit, though, sir, that the holiday itself doesn't celebrate the founder. The holiday itself is actually kind of nice. What proof do you have, though, sir, that he founded this holiday solely to promote his goofy ideas? I mean, these are ideas that I think most Americans hold very dear: family, unity, faith, goodwill.
I think if most news anchor types, before they did a nice feel-good story about Kwanzaa, presented exactly what Ron Karenga was really about, it would never get off the ground.
Well, I'm a news anchor type, and I'm going to put this to you right now. I wanted to get some straight answers out of you, and I wanted you to get a challenge. And CNN approached you about this interview and asked you to appear with Roland Martin, who's a CNN commentator who's very, very passionate about this issue. He wanted to challenge you on this, and you refused. You said you didn't want to appear with someone who would defend Kwanzaa. Why on earth would you do that?
Oh, that's not true at all. I'd be happy to appear with someone who defend Kwanzaa. But you're completely distorting the comments that we had earlier in the day. Earlier in the day, I said if we were going to have a discussion as to how many black people cared about Kwanzaa...
Okay, you know, before you even go on, if we've made a mistake...
completely distorting...
I've got Roland Martin ready to go. We have been told by the senator that he did not want to appear with Roland Martin, who was going to be, obviously taking the antithesis role. And then he corrected me on the air and said that wasn't true. So Roland was ready to go. Let me jump in here, gentlemen. Let me jump in. Senator, if you suggest that the history is at issue, some of the historical, you know, ancient roots of Kwanzaa have to do with a fruit festival. And it just so happens that the fruit festival was at the end of the year, which is right around Christmas and New Year. So if there's any allegation that Kwanzaa was some attempt to divide white and black people in Christianity, it would seem that timeline would sort of nullify that argument. And in the same vein, I want to ask you...
I think you have to do a little bit of research.
I did.
You have to do some research.
I gave it to you. That's research.
Specifically to be a holiday that was separate from Christmas because he wanted his own holiday.
The person you're referring to, says it has nothing to do with Christmas. It only has to do with culture. Let me ask you this. This whole issue that you said almost no black people today care about Kwanzaa. Wait, one sec, sir, please. You said almost no black people today care about Kwanzaa, just white left-wingers. I want to read for you this statement, and I'm going to quote it verbatim. Kwanzaa strengthens the ties that bind communities across America and around the world and reflects the great promise and diversity of America. Do you remember who said that?
Absolutely, I remember it. It was one of the reasons why George Bush was kind of an irritating president for some of us.
But was he a white left-winger? This is borderline ridiculous. Was George W. Bush a...
All right. Enough of that, folks, but you get what happened there. It was pretty rugged, actually.
Yeah, that was good.
CNN is trying to co-opt the Fox move, so they are to be commended. Their ratings are low, Captain, so they got to pull some stuff. They got to pull out some stuff. So, you know, I'm going to go all over the map on this, folks. So I want the captain to take lead by first chair, like the real Enterprise. Well, actually, I will be the first chair. You're the captain. So anyway, regardless, you take the lead on this, and then I'm going to come in later. What are your thoughts on this? If we have a caller. Hold on. We'll get to you in a moment.
Well, obviously, if there's 40 million black people here in America at this given point, it's not a movement at this given time that all 40 million black people are actually into at this given time. Now, based on my own empirical evidence, I would say that the Kwanzaa movement is actually down. But that being said, you cannot make ignorant blanket statements for anything here in America. You cannot make ignorant blanket statements pertaining to black people here in America. You really can't make blanket statements pertaining to anything. There's always going to be exceptions to any rule. So blanket statements are always out. So this particular individual in question here, he made a blanket statement that was totally off base. Totally off base. I think at this given time that there are a lot of people who definitely do care about Kwanzaa. I think it's down some. And I just think he was just totally off base. This is another thing that these particular individuals in power, when it comes to what, quote unquote, as they would say, black people do, it's not important. There is not enough of them, so let's not show any light on it, and let's just sweep it underneath the rug. And he just essentially got caught here with his foot in his mouth. Back over to you, Sir Apple Nerd.
Yeah, I'm going to try to make this brief. But I have a lot of thoughts, and I have to be honest with our audience. What's happening here, and the captain touched on this, what's happening here is some folks are tired of this black stuff. Wrongfully so. It just grates on the nerves of some unenlightened folk that whatever the cultural context we're talking about, if it's a quote-unquote Latin thing, if it's an Asian thing, but especially when it's a black thing, sometimes you need to let things go and stop allowing it to grate on you. He sees, and some of it was hinted out in those two clips that we played, Captain, he sees an attack on Christmas, and this is Christmas and Western culture. We got a black man in office. Jingles was released on December 25th. The takeover has begun. And this is another black thing that just grates on my nerves. That's what's going on. But you know, folks, the Afro nerd is a contrarian. And I'm going to give it to you straight with no chaser. Now, what this man said, he's off base and he's a nut. But there's a kernel of truth in some of this in the sense that you black folks, I'm going to be honest because this is how I get down. You black folks suffer from Stockholm Syndrome. Where is he going with this? What is this? I'll tell you what it is. Stockholm Syndrome is a real psychological problem. It's a real medical issue, a psychological phenomenon. Now, I thought about Stockholm Syndrome because now I'm going to have to relate Django to everything, Captain. Pardon me. It made me think about the Samuel L. Jackson character, Stephen, how he's reviled. People are angry with him. He's the consummate house Negro. He's the consummate Uncle Tom, although Uncle Tom is not really an Uncle Tom if you really know the story. But that's another thing. Anyway, I thought about Stephen, and I said, wait a minute. You know, Stephen should be pitied. He was in the movie. He was a 76-year-old man who was a captured African who suffered from Stockholm Syndrome. What is Stockholm Syndrome? So, Stockholm Syndrome, let me go to Wiki. Let me give you a real hardcore definition. It says Stockholm Syndrome or capture bonding is a psychological phenomenon in which hostages express sympathy, empathy, and have positive feelings toward their captors, sometimes to the point of defending them. These feelings are generally considered irrational in light of the danger or risk endured by the victims, who essentially mistake a lack of abuse from their captors for an act of kindness. Stockholm Syndrome can also be seen as a form of traumatic bonding. Okay, so what we're talking about, we've never really perceived what went down in slavery as a type of Stockholm Syndrome. And the culture that comes out of that, folks, the culture that comes out of that is a type of Stockholm Syndrome capture bonding culture. So when Kwanzaa gets created, it gets created without the mysticism. It's created by some guy, as Groffin wants to point. Dr. Karanga, 1966. Many of you know the origins of Kwanzaa. And the issue is when someone said something that's crazy but has some mixture of truth in it, we have to be able to pick apart the crazy from the truth. The truth of the matter is that Dr. Karanga was a radical dude, although he has a doctorate, he's well-educated. He did come up with this thing in 1966. But we have to acknowledge that many of these holidays, all of these holidays are made up. They're a way to shill the public for dollars. And it's all about mysticism. We love mysticism. Heck, I even think that, Captain, we have mystical blacks, I said it. We have mystical people all over. We have mystical folks of all hues, but black folks suffer from mysticism. We have mystical, religious black folk. And what happens is the black folks that are more caught up in mysticism are more comfortable with Christmas because the origin is mystical. If Kwanzaa, what Dr. Karanga should have done, is he should have created a story that could not have been verified. If it was some crazy story, black folks would have been all over this stuff. But what it boils down to is we can point to the creator. If you can't point to the creator and it's some mystical hocus pocus, black folks would have gobbled this up like cornbread. And I like cornbread, incidentally. That's what's happening. But we suffer from Stockholm Syndrome. But if you capture someone in the modern era, we can see that. Patty Hearst, for those who remember, in 1974, the scion of the Hearst Publishing House, extremely wealthy family. Patty Hearst was a sufferer of Stockholm Syndrome, and she was captured by this radical group, and then she started picking up a gun and became a member of the group. She was later pardoned in 2001. But the deal is, black folks suffer from Stockholm Syndrome, but we never look at it that way. We were captured, and now we love the oppressor's, religion. We love everything about him. When we saw Stephen hug on the deceased Leonardo DiCaprio character, he was like, oh, my God. Stockholm Syndrome, folks, is for real. We need to start looking at it that way. Captain, what are your thoughts? I thought I broke it down pretty well. Captain. All right, I know we have the captain. Let's go to the caller. And Captain. Yeah. What are your thoughts, man?
Yes. I think you broke, as you just aptly stated, I think you broke it down well. There's really nothing more really to add on top of that at this given time. Excellent.
See,
well
when
said.
When I said I was unchained, I really meant that. Because now the fire is on your butts, folks, of all hues. I'm going to break it down hard. And I'm going to break it down on lower tier. I'm going to break it down on mystical blacks. Mystical blacks, you need a story. You suffer from Stockholm Syndrome. Knock it off. It's Tarantino. Last time I'm going to mention it, gave you a love letter. He made a movie that was a love letter to black folks. Captain. It was a love letter because he dipped the gun, he dipped the arsenal, he dipped the bullets in hot sauce and allowed you to point the bullet at the gun at the oppressor. So we got to admit to some of this stuff. You know, I wish Kwanzaa was more popular, to be honest with you, but it's not mystical enough for you people. It's not mystical enough for you. All right. Mystical blacks. I'm just saying. All right. Let's go to the caller, and let's see what's up. 626, welcome to AfroNerd. What's up? Tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Covina Man from LA again. This
okay,
is an interesting
welcome.
Topic. Hey, this is an interesting topic. I think that it's deep because I think that first clip you played where, you know, the progressives are exposing themselves as also racist. You know, I kind of see like progressive is more like a white cultural hegemonist and not necessarily like the classic term racist. But I think that when you use a term, you know, Stockholm syndrome is accurate. It is accurate, but at the same time, it's also adapting their the quote. If you're looking at them as the enemy or the oppressor's definition. I think our definition of Stockholm syndrome as Uncle Tom fits very well for us, even though it doesn't actually fit. Let's say Uncle Tom in the book is using the term Uncle Tom actually explains Stockholm syndrome, just saying it from a black perspective. That's my comment.
Yeah, well, listen, I appreciate what you said. My thing is, I think you have to bring it to the modern era for folks to really get it. See, when it becomes historical, we're talking about slavery having ended, if you want to be, you know, real about it, over 150 years ago. So, for some reason, we can't apply Stockholm syndrome to historical slavery. But when you start to see how black folks act, where, you know, when you talk about how we have adopted the oppressor's religion, how many of us are overtly religious, we forget that this is not our religion, if we're going to be honest. But we don't want to be honest. We would prefer to be mystical. Kwanzaa was created by some guy. Let's be honest. It was created by some guy. It's not crazy enough for us to get into. If it was, if he had lied about the origins if he had some wacky idea, some mountaintop situation, Kwanzaa would have been eaten up. But it's some guy in 66 that said, hey, let's come up with seven principles. Let's get it popping. And that's the problem. But I still think that this Grossman character was way off base in commenting on a black thing.
Yeah, I think
that's all.
I think that guy. Yeah, I think that guy got.
He gets great on it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think that guy got caught up in the whole Sean Hannity kind of mindset where let's go attack, you know, people of color and dare them to call us racist. It's almost like he's trying to do the election over again. Like, you know, let's keep bringing up race, hoping that a swing election, but the election is over. But here's a guy with the same thing, like, let's try to stir it up. If black folks don't really care about it, it would just go away. Like, let's say, I used to participate in Kwanzaa back in the college era, but as I got older, it's one of the things I just really don't care about. And it's probably like a lot of black people probably went through that phase. They don't care about it. It would just disappear. It's not as if we're closing down, office buildings or the banks on Kwanzaa. It's a cultural holiday like Chinese New Year or like, Cesar Chavez Day or something like that. It's not something that's impacting him. He's trying to bring his offensive racism to the world to try to make a point, and the point is over. It's like if he's trying to end it, it seems like it would be reversed by him attacking it. He's like the war on, you know, black people now. Black people are going to start to celebrate it again. Also, I bet next year, Kwanzaa is going to be bigger than it was this year.
Well, you know what? That's
good point,
irony is that you have to have a hater to get you motivated.
Yeah.
That's how, unfortunately, that's how it works. But my thing is, and I mentioned this before, when these folks throw hot water on you, right, to get you motivated, the problem is he got you a little bit because you really aren't that interested in it. See, if we were more passionate about the holiday, he would have had less leeway to make the news and to make a, you know, he wouldn't have come off as a complete nut. but he's an incomplete nut in this case because he came out with a kernel of truth that we have to deal with. He kind of had a gotcha moment because black folks, if we were more serious about it, then we would have had the upper hand. But we're not that serious about it as a collective, and it comes off a little like, well, you know, he's kind of right. And then he went off the cliff, and now we have to deal with that. Call it, listen, as always, we appreciate your support. Continue listening every Sunday, Wednesday, 7 p.m. You know, it gets hotter as always. We appreciate it. Folks, listen, we got another 23 minutes or such. So, Catherine, let's go to a quick groove. When we get back, I want to talk about the minstrels. For, I don't know, 5 minutes or something like that. I promised some clips. I have one clip.
Which one?
you know who it is. I'm not going to talk about who it is. I said last week.
There's so many.
Well, you know, there's so many. I didn't have enough time to really go through all this stuff. But when we talked about last week that there's so many minstrels that so many folks are listening to, that we need this type of discourse desperately, where we can unpack, we can analyze, we can educate. The time is now. Bono told you so. Bono told you so. I'm telling you so. It's time. We got to be real. All right. We'll talk about the minstrels, as I always do. We're going to be more specific, sort of. Anyway, quick groove, then the minstrels. This is a mashup, sort of, by Gummy Soul. Gummy Soul interpreting Tribe Called Quest songs and Far Side. So it's like a Far Side, Tribe Called Quest, Gummy Soul. This is called Bizarre Tribe. Bizarre Tribe. Let's groove, folks. Progressive hip hop. Or maybe not. I see the file did not go correctly. All right. Let me go to another one. All right, this is actually, let's go to a classic one. Unfortunately, I didn't have that. Okay, I got another one. I got so much music, it doesn't matter. DJ Roland Clark, Goodbye Love. DJ Roland Clark, Goodbye Love. We'll be back, folks. Hold on. Thank you. All right, enough of that. Again, DJ Roland Clark. DJ Roland Clark, Goodbye Love. Give you the best of urban alternative, Afro-punk, black rock, acid jazz. You know, the good stuff. The call-in number, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Shouting out once again, Afro-Brit, meeting one of our listeners by way of the UK across the pond. I heard you, sis. I heard this Afro-Nerd UK branch, Captain. Afro-Nerd International. Maybe think. Put the fire in the belly, sir. We got to get this thing cooking for real. Also, I have to shout out Sergio Mims, stalwart supporter of Afro-Nerd. I was on Open Line this morning, Open Line New York, which is James Entumes, for those who are familiar with New York Undercover, the TV show with Malik Yoba from years back. He was the music director for that show, and also he was a part of Miles Davis's band. He's a consummate musician. You know him from the R&B scene, from Juicy Fruit. So he's a big deal, and he has his own show in New York, Open Line. He knows the Afro-Nerd when I call in. Afro-Nerd, my man. You know, it goes down. So I'm on there briefly, and I Shadow and Act was mentioned once again. Shadow and Act, folks, is a great entertainment movie cinephile blog from the black perspective, courtesy of IndieWire.com, but just simply Google Shadow and Act. But Warrington Hudlin of Hudlin Brothers fame, brother of Reginald Hudlin, he was on, and Nelson George, who was also a guest on our show a while back. We're going to try to get him back again. But Nelson was on, and Warrington was on, Afro-Nerd was on, and we were talking, and Shadow and Act came up. So I shouted out Shadow and Act again, as well as they did. It's definitely on the come up. So Mr. Mims is to be applauded, and I'll try to get the clips at some point when I was on the show. Okay, moving right along, transition time. I told the captain, I told the audience that, as I always say, it's always the same rant, kind of, because it just bothers me, folks, that we seem to be comfortable with the monolithic box for black folks, that we need to have diversity amongst our ranks. We have to have diversity. We can't continue to live this way. You go to Media Takeout, you go to Bossip, you see the talk, the ghetto talk, that's comprised of about 10 people. It's the same 10 people every day. It's the same 10 people every day. Kim Ye, Kim Kardashian, Kanye West, Rihanna, Chris Brown,
Nicki Minaj.
It's the same characters. The Caucasian hair hats are in full effect. The Afro-Saxon toupees are in full effect. Beyonce, Jay-Z, it's the same 10 people doing the same 10 damn songs, the same music. But there's more going on, folks. You know that. There's more going on. But the deal is that many of us have been comfortable with this one-note track, this one-note MP3 file that's been on repeat for about 20 years. And I'm tired of it. I know many of you are tired of it because our listenership has been rising. But I don't think folks are aware of what they are listening to. You need to start to really analyze and put the microscope on these minstrels. Now, I listen to all kinds of radio shows because we're trying to hone our craft as well. So I listen to radio, but I listen to it with a different ear. So I'm listening to, well, you know what? I don't really want to even say this gentleman's name. But I can put on anything. I can go to the talk shows, Jeremy Kyle, who's actually from the UK. Jeremy Kyle does a show. You can go. He's basically a British version of Maury Povich. Even Anderson Cooper had a show. There's a number of pseudo doctors that have these shows, and they have dysfunctional black folks, and they just get the ratings. They are the entertainers. Black dysfunctionalism is the entertainment. It's the entertainment model. And people are gobbling it up. Oxygen Network has green-lighted All My Baby's Mamas. That should be the end of this. That should be the end. If you can't wake up with a show that's highlighting Shorty Low, the rapper, and his 11 children by 10 different women, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. So, anyway, I have a clip of a person who I deem is doing a minstrel show. Now, what he says in this clip, you know, it has a grain of truth. I mean, but he's a mystical black also, Captain. He's a mystical black. So, you know, a whole bunch of made-up stuff. God is going to help you. You just pray to God. You know, listen, I'm an agnostic. But I can appreciate the theory of a higher being if you can relate it to real-world stuff. Many of you aren't doing it. It's more like a type of fairy godfather or a tooth fairy thing. The way that some of us are approaching God and mysticism is troubling because, you know, you have no kind of ability on your own. If there's a God, he's supposed to instruct you, give you the will to do certain things. But you just don't pray and poop, I want to pray for $1 million, and then I look under my bed sheet, and oh, wow, I guess it works, $1 million under my bed sheet. That's how some of us are approaching. Yes, it's mysticism, mystical blacks. So anyway, this is, you know what it is when you hear it, but listen to his diction, folks. Listen to his diction. And this is commonplace on black radio, black media. We've got to stop this. We have to stop this. We need information. We have a president of color in the White House. We have a black family in the White House. We can do better. We need information. We can give you some humor. Hey, the captain and I can do the funny. We can do the funny. Yuck, 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 yuck. Yuck, 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 yuck. We can do that. We can do that. But we have to give you information as well. All right? So anyway, without further ado, I'm not even, you know, you'll know who it is when you hear the voice. But this diction thing, this country speak, I'm not down with it. Hold on, folks.
Get back up, right back up. You know, you hear people say all the time, it ain't over till the fat lady sing. Well, let me ask you something. Who is the fat lady? Have you met her? Do you know her? Have you seen her? It ain't over till the fat lady sing. Who is the fat lady? Where's she at? Who opened the door and let her in here? So she could sing. You have a say so in this matter right here. It ain't over till the fat lady sing. I don't hear her. I don't know her. I don't invite her into my house. She can't ride in my car. I don't have her down at the job. The fat lady can sing all she wants. I'll be singing right along with her. I know that song. What you singing? See, it's how you handle the situation. It's not over. It's not over unless you give up. You can never give up. When you make a mistake, get right back up. Get back up and start again. Man, I met this young kid over in St. Thomas. I had met the kid 2 years before in St. Thomas. This is a true story. I met this young kid. Good-looking little dude, man. Good-looking little dude. Very well-spoken man. Had dreams. But he lives in St. Thomas. And a lot, 70.
All right, enough. Who that is, Captain? Who that is? Listen, this, I'm not going to say who it is, but the audience knows who it is. I'm not going to say who it is.
What you fitting to do, boy?
Come on now. He sounds like someone who just found out that the Emancipation Proclamation was signed yesterday. Yesterday. He just found out that slaves had been released today. That's how he sounds. Okay? And we gobbled this up. God bless him. He has a gig. I appreciate the fact that this gentleman has able to create his own universe. He's been able to create his own niche in the marketplace. But it's time for there to be a niche in the marketplace, which I said on Open Line this morning, actually, Captain, that there has to be a place and a time where we start to market black intelligence. I said it. There has to be a time and a place and an infrastructure where we market black intelligence. Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, who we'll probably get in the next couple of months because I spoke to his people. Would he ever show up on his show, on this gentleman's show, or any other show? Where does RZA, who had this the Man with the Iron Fist, a geek movie, where does he go? You know, there's a whole bunch of pop culture that's out here, black intelligence, black pop culture that's not of the reality show ilk. Where do they go? We have it so hard pressed, Captain. We have it so locked now that the only product that we're producing is the minstrel product. And incidentally, when he says, "Who the fat lady?" Saying how he said it, who that fat lady is? Well, the fat lady is a real terminology. It ain't over till the fat lady sings. It's referencing the Valkyrie Brunhilde. Actually, I don't even go into it, but it's an operatic device. Grand Opera, the fat lady, you know, that part by Brunhilde, Valkyrie Brunhilde, was always portrayed as a very buxom lady with a horned helmet, a shield, and a spear. Okay? We know who the fat lady is, Steve. Well, I said it. Okay, I messed up. Well, you know who he is. You know who he is anyway. God bless him. God bless his hustle, Captain. When do we have other places, other people that might speak, I don't know, in a 21st century dialect? I'm just saying. And I could have pulled more clips, Captain. More clips, more coons that just got word that slavery is over. And these are new shows, incidentally, folks. We got to stop it. I'm going to keep on ringing this alarm until this stuff diminishes a little. I'm going to still talk this way show after show after show because it has got to stop. Because you want to know why your children are failing? Why Florida has a different designation for black students as it is for Hispanic students, as it is for white students, as it is for Asian students? It's because of this type of stuff. We are dumbing ourselves down, and it has to stop. Bono says it's the year of the Afro nerd. I'm just saying. Thoughts, Captain?
Well,
what you think, Captain? Who that is?
After this, I'm fitting to go to the store. That's about where I'm ready. Fitting. I don't know about you, but I'm already about to go to the store.
You know. Where's my Under the Cherry Moon clip, Captain? I gotta find it. But you know, this was done in jest, and it's a good clip. Where's that? Where is that?
Really though?
Okay, hold on.
What on earth is that? Some new language.
Read it.
You know what it is?
It's nothing, you minion. You know it, but you won't confess it because you're such a coward.
It is something. Something you don't know, and you won't confess that because you're a coward.
This is silly, and you're a child.
I go to dinner without my father's permission.
Well, that says what?
Now read it aloud so we can all hear how knowledgeable you are.
Wrecker Stone.
You know what it is? You don't, do you?
Wrecker Stone, it's nothing.
It is something. Come on, read it again. This time, say it louder.
Wrecker Stone.
Louder.
Wrecker Stone! I give up. What is it?
Wait. If you wanted to buy a Sam Cooke Abbott, where would you go?
The record store.
That's my man, His Royal Badness, 1986. Wrecker Stowe.
You know.
Where would you go when you want to pick up a Sam Cooke album?
I had a real life situation, something like that. I was in the classroom one
time.
Sure you did? now listen. I was in the classroom, and we were studying to get these these licensed, what license was that for? This was asbestos. We were with asbestos. And the teacher in the class were calling on particular students in order, you know, reading things from our pamphlet. And there were individuals in the class that really could not read. And it was amazing because I never encountered anything like that before. You know, they were getting stuck on words and they were pronouncing words in a manner. And I was just there amazed. It was me and another individual that I also knew for a very long time. We were like, wow, we didn't know until that time. We hear about stuff like that, but we never associated with anybody like that. And they just couldn't really read. We just thought it was amazing. You know, real life situation. Not making this up, true life story. You know, so that clip right there is somewhat, in a way, you know, just brought me back to that. You know, just jarred that memory. Just wanted to share that with everybody. That's all.
Well, listen, we're in some dire straits, Captain. We are, and we're going to have to address this. I think it's false pride sometimes that's holding some of us back where we can't admit some of this stuff. We have to, you know, in the beginning, the early part of this, of what we do, people were very angry with the whole Afro-Nerd concept, and you know, they just didn't like it. But you're not going to be able to address the wound unless you get the pus out. That's what it is. We've been wounded historically, economically, psychologically, and there's some things we're going to have to admit that are harmful to us, that we do to us, but some of us have such a great deal of self-loathing, self-pride. We are walking Stevens, many of us, whether you want to admit it or not. All of us have a certain degree of Stockholm Syndrome, and I am here, and the captain is here, and many others, there are some others on this crew to straighten this out. All right, folks, listen, it's been real. Time to hat on up, another colloquialism. We'll do it again on Wednesday. We'll be back. Always a pleasure. Let's go on out with some Mos Def. This is rock and roll. See you on Wednesday.
Alert the squad.
Rock roll, huh?
Alert the squad.
Rock roll, huh?
My grandmama was raised on a reservation. My great-grandmama was from a plantation. They sang songs for inspiration. They sang songs for relaxation. They sang songs to take their minds up off that fucked-up situation. I am, yes, I am the descendant of those folks who backs got broke, fell down inside the gun smoke.
Black people,
chains on their ankles and feet. I am descendants of the builders of your streets.
Black people,
descendants to your cotton money. I am hip hop.
Heavy metal for the black people.
I am rock and roll.
Rock and roll. Rock and roll.
Been here forever. They just ain't let you know. I said Elvis Presley ain't got no soul. Chuck Berry is rock and roll.
Right.
You may dig on the Rolling Stones, but they ain't come up with that style on their own.
Uh-uh.
Elvis Presley ain't got no soul.
Hell no.
Little Richard is rock and roll.
Right.
You may dig on the Rolling Stones, but they ain't come up with that shit on their own. Guess that's just the way you go. You steal my clothes and try to say they yo.
Yes, they do.
Business is so filled with pimps and hoes. Trying to take everything that you made to control.
There they go.
Elvis Presley ain't got no soul. Bo Diddley is rock and roll.
Right.
You made it go on the Rolling Stones. But they ain't the first place to credit belongs. See, whoa, oh, gon' take it. Ooh, we, yo, back to
rock and roll.
Whoa, oh, gon' take it. Limp biscuit. When I get down in my zone, I be rocking
bad brains and fishbone.
I ain't trying to slow your groove, but that ain't the way I'm trying to move.
I don't turn on corn to get it on. I be playing Jimi Hendrix to the dawn. That's my world's born. Sitting up on my front lawn. Got the volume turned to 10. Play it, I'll be king the rest of the day. When I want it in the cooker. Got to turn on some Jolly Hooker. When I want some rock and roll. Go to Otis Redding to get some soul. James Brown got plenty of soul. James Brown likes rock and roll. He can do all the shit to show. The Elvis Presley could never know. Energy ain't got no soul. John Coltrane is rock and roll. You may dig on the Rolling Stones. They can never ever rock like Nina Simone. Say, whoa, oh, gonna take it. Oh, we go back to my city.
Well, that was just wonderful.